Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today. I hope that you are having a great day. It's clouding up to rain here. In fact, as I'm trying to rush to get through this before the weather completely breaks. But I hope that you're having a great day in the Lord, especially this week as we think about our Lord going to the cross for our sins and rising again to give us eternal life, to give us salvation. And what a joy it is that He brings us into a relationship with Himself and that He wants us to know Him. So before we open His Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we do thank You for this day. Lord, for Your love and Your grace, Your salvation and Your mercy. Father, just turn our minds and our heart, O God, towards You. Let us hear from You today, O God. Let us grow in Your grace. Father, as we think, O Lord, of the wonderful gift of Your Son, the salvation You've made possible, O Lord God, turn our hearts, Lord, to worship, to reverence, to love, to adoration, and O Lord God, let us hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about our Lord during this final week of His life here on earth, before He went to the cross, died, and rose again, I want us to turn to Psalm 113. I know we looked at Psalm 113 several weeks ago, but I want us to look at it specifically in light of our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And that's actually very appropriate. Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 are what we call the Hallel Psalms. They were psalms that the Jews would sing during their various festivals, namely, especially Passover. In fact, is Psalm 113 was a psalm that was and still is usually sung very early in the Passover meal. And so you think about our Lord having that Last Supper with His disciples as they observed Passover. This would be a psalm that our Lord would actually have sung with His disciples. So that makes it even more relevant. You stop and you think about what our Lord was doing that week. You think what He was doing the hours before He was arrested and went to the cross. He was actually singing this psalm with His disciples, leading them in it, in fact. And as we look closely, it's all about Him. How appropriate that is. And so look with me at Psalm 113 as we are led into worship and adoration as we think about our Lord during this final week of ministry. As we look at this psalm, as we begin working our way through it, the first thing that we see is the character of our Lord. We see His character. Look at verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Notice the emphasis there is on the name of the Lord. And again, as we've commented, name's not just a reference. Name, especially in ancient times, especially in the scriptures, you're talking about the very character of the person. You're talking about the very essence of who they are. When he's talking here, praising the name of the Lord, he's talking here about praising the Lord for who He is. You know, there was a song out several years ago, Because of Who You Are. And you know, one of the repeating lines in that song, Lord, I praise You because of who You are. Not just for all the mighty deeds that You have done. You think about our Lord, perfect, pure, spotless, glorious, majestic. You know, John wrote in 1 John 1:5 that this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness whatsoever. You know, when we think about our Lord, we think about His character. We think about the One who went to the cross. The One who is in fact pure, spotless. The One who is in fact holy in every way. We think about His character. We also think about His sovereignty. You think about verses 4 and 5. The Lord is high above all the nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who is enthroned on high? You know, you think about the significance of being high over everything. He, in fact, rules over all. You know, we sometimes use the expression, God is still on His throne. Yes, He is. And that throne is, in fact, in a position of absolute power and authority. I think about what Jeremiah was inspired to write in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Our Lord God, Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. When we stop and think about who our Lord is, we're talking about the absolute sovereign living Lord. All power and authority has been given unto him by the Father. We think of the one who in fact created all things, the one who brought all things into existence, the one for whom and through whom all things exist, the one who holds all things together. We remember our sovereign Lord. Yes, he became man. And as man, he went to the cross, but he never stopped being God. That pure, perfect character, the absolute sovereign God. But you put those two together and you think of the next thing that we see in this psalm. And that is, in fact, his graciousness. Think about verse 6. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. You think about that picture there. Who humbles himself to behold, and we'll take it piece by piece, the things that are in heaven. You think about, of course, it's cloudy and overcast, storm rolling in. But you think about a beautiful starry night. And how you can just see, we like to say see forever, but our vision is limited. And yet you think about, we can't even see all, even with the powerful telescopes, the end of creation, the vast universe. And yet you think of the picture here. We're always having to look up to see the heavens. Here's God. He's looking, he has to look down to see what's there. What a statement of his power. And then not only does he look down upon the stars, the moons, but down to see earth as well. His graciousness. You know, the Old Testament concept and word for grace means to stoop. Almost like you would stoop down to pick up a kitten. God stoops down to us. The difference is, the distance between us and God is far greater than that distance from us to the kitten. And that kitten is at least cute. In our sins and our transgressions, we're anything but. But that God, our God, is a God of grace. Perfect in his character, sovereign, and yet he stoops to pick down, to pick up. Stooped in his birth, in his life, certainly in his crucifixion. But you think about how he stoops, in fact, to reach down to lift us up. And what is amazing about this is when you think of that picture that's there, and again, you think about our Lord singing this psalm with his disciples as they observed Passover that night, knowing that he was about to undergo the ultimate stooping, if you would, that he would have to rescue us from our sins and our transgressions. Can you imagine the Lord himself singing that? He stooped to save us. Well, was that enough? Well, look at his sufficiency. Look at verses 7 and 8. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. You know, what grace. And look at the fact it was obviously enough. Yes, from poor and needy to being among the princes of his people. You think about it, isn't that a picture of what he has accomplished in salvation? 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even those who believe in his name. His grace is sufficient. You know, yes, we are poor. Destitute in our sins and in our transgressions. Yes, we're in the ash heap of our own making because of our sins and rebellion against God. And yet, because of his grace, he's able to lift us up and make us one of his own and to bring us among his people. His grace is sufficient. Again, you think about our Lord singing this. What he was about to accomplish was in fact sufficient to save us from our sins and to reconcile us unto himself. And then you think of what he does beyond that. You think of, again, of his goodness. Look at verse 9. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. The imagery there, the picture there is of God's blessings upon someone who had not expected it, if you will. You think of the richness and the wonder that God brings into our life. John 10:10, I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You think of what we read in John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. All because of our wonderful Lord. What an awesome God we have. What an awesome Lord we have. No wonder we especially remember him this week. This one who is perfect. This one who is sovereign. This one has stooped down to rescue us. And his rescue is completely sufficient to deliver us from our sins and to reconcile us unto himself. And in fact, to bring us into his blessing. That's what we remember this week. And I hope as you go through this week, as we approach the time of remembering our Lord's crucifixion and celebrate his wonderful resurrection, I hope that you remember who he is and what he has done and what he's made possible. And I hope that this is truly a wonderful week of worship for you. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, for your wonderful salvation through your Son, that reconciles us unto you, restores us in a relationship with you, and brings us, O God, into your blessing. Father, as we go through this week, may our minds and our hearts be set upon you. And, O Lord, may we worship, love, and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you do have a great week. I'm thankful God enabled us to complete our time together before the storm completely broke. But I hope that you do have an incredible week. With your mind centered upon the Lord, thanking him, worshiping him, and praising him for his grace and his sufficiency and his goodness. And may you have a wonderful week in him.